Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of Spotlight on here at AfterBuzz TV. I am with Tori Shulman, who is a host, stand-up comedian, improviser, actress. She literally does so much, and I have so many questions for her. We're going to find out how she does it all, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hello again, fellow AfterBuzzers. I am Sam Davidson, and we are, yes, playing the Jurassic Park theme song because the hilarious Tori Shulman requested it. Hello, Tori. Thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm such a thrill. Thanks, Anthony, for this beautiful piece of music. He said, do you want a piece of music to enter? And I thought, let's get the most beautiful, the most epic.
Well, for everyone out there, where can the fans find you on social media?
Right to this music right now. You can do it. So stupid. At I am Tori Shulman. It's TorySHulman, real Jewy. And that's for across the board, or just Google me. And I have a website, TorySHulman.com.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And Facebook.
A lot
everything.
Of great stuff.
Yeah,
everything
Instagram.
Going on. I love it when you introduced yourself. You just kind of like extended your arms. Find me on the internet.
Find me. It's the warrior pose they teach you in that TED Talk.
Yep.
Before every audition, they tell you to put your hands up and do like a power pose.
Mm-hmm.
Has not worked.
Yes. That's my workout for the day, so thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
So you really do so many different things, which I love, because I remember when I was younger and I wanted to get into the industry, people were like, pick one ladder and climb it, you know, stop going all over the place. And I'm still kind of all over the place, but I love it because there's people like you that are doing well in like several different facets of the industry. When you started out, you're from the DC area.
Yep.
So when you were a kid, were you like loud and hilarious, or were you the kind of funny that's like in their head and it's going to come out later?
Just the first one. Just a total...
Just obnoxious.
Just really annoying. Just to everybody. I came out of the womb just like looking for the spotlight. Never was it a question. It was what I wanted to do. Entertaining was going to be it, and that was it. And my parents, one is a lawyer, and he thought I should be a lawyer, my father. And my mother was an art historian and works at the National Gallery of Art, and she wanted me to go into the art history world. And I didn't either. And I'm a stand-up, so that's great.
Yeah. It's, you know, living the dream. Your parents must be very proud. But it is funny because, you know, I have parents, too, that are totally different.
Totally.
And it's just funny. D.C., it's the complete opposite.
It's just an unfunny place.
Yeah.
It really is where humor goes to die. It's not funny. No one looks good. No one looks cute. No one cares. It's all about politics. And what's interesting is stand-up comedy wasn't in my growing up feeling. My mom never watched Seinfeld. They never let me watch Seinfeld. These are like classic, like, come on, Simpsons I didn't get to watch. So it's just, it came from somewhere. I think my grandmother. But it came out of somewhere, and I just knew I had to do it.
Yeah. And so when you first started out, I know that you went to New York first, mm-hmm. and you did UCB.
Mm-hmm.
And were you like, originally, I'm going to be an actress? You know, that was the goal. Every kid's goal, I want to be a movie star.
Yeah, it was very much like... very like vague in my head. I was like winning a lot of awards and talking to James Lipton mm-hmm. on stage at like Actor Studio, but yeah. like no real reason why I was there. I was just like famous for no reason. And so as I realized that like everyone has that dream, I realized the better you are when you're out here in Hollywood, the more specific you are. So I was like, okay, I'm not the best actress. I'm really funny. I'm good at improv. I'm good at stand up, and I am very intelligent. What can I bring all of that into? And then I realized hosting was like, hey, that's all you have to know, is like be good on camera, be funny, be quick, be witty, be somewhat intelligent on things. And I was like, I'm going to go into hosting, because I just felt honestly acting was overpopulated with way thinner people. You know what I mean?
I actually know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the star of the show, right? I was never going to be that. I'd be like the kooky friend, like Kimmy Gibbler. Like, I'm always going to be that friend, which is awesome. But I can get there faster if I'm hosting myself. It's a better venue for me to showcase my talents.
Yeah. So when you were in New York at UCB, was that during the time of kind of like the beginning, the classics? Did you work with anyone now, like then, that's really big now?
I was like one step after Amy Poehler and Matt Besser, and they all came. And so I was with those, their friends and students. So like Billy Merritt, who was one of the original, not the original four, but of the original, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He was like a mentor to me. So, and I've seen them all do all of them, like ASCAD over and over again. So UCB was a major, major start for me. And the way Amy Poehler plays at UCB, you call it playing when you're doing improv.
Yeah.
She plays really fast. She plays with the boys and she plays kind of dirty and kind of physically. And I'm very similar in terms of like, if the word from the audience is raisinette, I'm not going to be at the movies. I'm like, I'm going to be a raisinette in the raisinette factory and like something really weird. So I played a lot like Amy, they said. And so I was trying to like go that route. Mm-hmm. But UCB gives you it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done. Much harder for me than stand up.
Yeah, I've done UCB here in LA and I've done stand up as well. But now I'm like not going back to improv. It's really, really hard.
Like full-on anxiety dreams, like about 201, 301, 401. It is hard, and they teach you to think a different way, and they teach you to react a different way, but it gets into your brain, and it's its own school. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It really actually helps you, and you don't even know it. It helps you with hosting and, you know, kind of just putting yourself out there.
Totally.
So I'm assuming after you did UCB is when you go, okay, maybe the acting thing is not me. But you came out here. It's really funny. And I saw that your like first role, right, was on a CSI Miami.
Very true. You got
shot in the boob.
Shot in the boob. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. No, everyone, thank you. When I came out here again, I was like, I'm going to be an actress. Still hadn't gotten the host thing. This was 2008 when that wasn't like an industry almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was like TRL.
Yeah, you know, that was like, it. It was like a VJ or like you're an actress. So I came out here being an actress and I got a call. You have to get on set to be in SAG. Mm-hmm. You need your SAG cards. You either have to somehow get on a show or get your three Taft-Hartley. There's a whole thing you have to do. So I got a call because I have lovely boobs. They are all natural. Thank you very much. And they wanted a nice-sized boob woman to get shot in the boob. I was playing like a Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm. So the entire shot is me in the water tank, and it's not my face. It's just here to here. And my whole acting was this. Ugh. And then I floated away. And that's how I got my SAG card.
You're like, okay, I'm going to make it.
My parents had a huge party. I think they thought my face would be involved. And so it was a slow moving bullet. You know how they do that on CSI? And I had a really cool like bullet wound and the squib went off and I went, ugh. And the director was like, you don't have to make a sound. We're not even recording your sound.
You're like, this is just for me.
I really wanted to get some backstory.
Yeah.
It, so.
And after that, I mean, what other acting work have you done? And then when did you decide to say, I'm going to really do hosting? And what was your first big hosting thing?
It was quick. It was quick. I was just like, I'm not someone to wait. And I was just not becoming on the Big Bang Theory. And I was like, why am I not Kaley Cuoco already? So immediately I was researching stuff to do just to keep myself busy. And Reels Channel had an opening for someone to do a commercial on A Mistake in a Movie. So I went in to do this just short little commercial. And I did it on that scene in Ghost where they're making love with the pottery, mm-hmm. right? And then the next moment he's picking her up, but there's no clay on his hands. And it really bothers me.
Well, he was a ghost, so.
Oh, yeah. But this was before. That's such a good call. No, this is pre-stabbing.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Willie mm-hmm. Lopez or whatever. And that always bothered me. And I realized there was a guy in the back of the room. And this is my advice for everyone out there. There's a director and everyone's laughing and I'm doing my little bits. And there's a guy out there down there not laughing. So I was like, okay, my goal in this little 30-second to 1-minute thing I'm shooting is to make that guy laugh. Because he's not having a good day or whatever. That guy was the head of Reels Channel. And that guy was like, hey, can you come in and audition to be a host? We're starting a new program. And I got, after a couple months, I got on that. And then I started at Movie Mob at Reels Channel. And then MSN called and said, can you do what you do? Watch TV and talk about it the next day. So I did Last Night on TV. And it was great. So it was like, it came from literally saying, well, I got to make that guy laugh.
Yeah.
So it was take every opportunity. You have no idea who the, you know, frowning dude in the back is or woman in the back.
And always go out of your way to be nice because A, people should be nice, which is something that I think people forget a lot. But B, you never know what you're going to say or what you're going to do, how it's going to affect someone, and how they could possibly help you.
That's the important thing is, like, you want to stay away from anything controversial, but gosh darn it, you don't know who's in that room. And it's usually the director having a crappy day. So it's always, if someone's not laughing and it's a cold room, work really hard to make that relationship. That's a big piece of a secret. If I'm in a casting and audition and one woman's like, I'm loving this, I'm more focused on getting the guy or woman and not interested because she's making the decisions, or he's making the decisions, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Would you, and when did you start doing stand-up?
So that came later. So I was hosting, I was doing really well, and everyone kept saying, why don't you do stand-up? Because I wanted an agent. And I said, well, what's the best way to get an agent or a manager? Well, it's to be on stage for 7 minutes alone, right? So what I did is I took a class at Pretty Funny Women with Lisa Sunstedt, and I got on, and it was just like a fish in water. It was so comfortable. I was never scared. I took off. I got a manager from it. But again, I had to put myself out there to be like, I'm telling jokes to strangers. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. So,
what can you say to people that are constantly putting themselves out there, but nothing's happening yet?
Okay, I can speak this language so clearly. This is my life. You have to get very smart with, and I'm being very serious, technically, SEO, keywords. I want you to learn a lot about hashtags. So if you're out there and you're feeling like the stuff you're self-generating isn't getting where you want it to be, change the technical part of it. Either find out if it's not Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, maybe it's the wrong medium, and then find out, how am I promoting it in terms of what hashtags and what keywords am I putting out there? That will change the amount of followers you get, and it will change the dynamic of how many people you can then leverage. It's really interesting. Start to get really geeky, and the more geek chic you get, the better.
Wow, that's like a life hack, which is, you know, one of a
nice segue.
Yeah, one of your shows. I mean, you do so much on your own. You're creating your own content. I mean, most of the shows that you do, like Hack of All Trades, that's all. Is that all you, or is that by someone else?
I did. So I got really bored after a while. Like, I'm not going to lie. I didn't have, you know, there's ups and downs. So in a downtime, my husband and I decided to do Tipsy Tori, and that's on YouTube. And I said, what if I get tipsy and give out tips? And I was like, that's great. So we came up with a theme song, and we just shot it in the living room. And what I would do, again, if you're interested, if you self-generate, always remind yourself, to when I send out Tipsy Tori, I send it to every single flippin' person I've met in Hollywood. Really, I really sent it to people I haven't met or worked with in 6 years, and I still have their name. Do not forget to keep those contacts, okay? Then one person from 6 years ago calls me and says, I'm at Kin Community, the number one family channel on YouTube. We want to do a hack show. You're our girl. Come in and write. We'll pay you to write it. We'll pay you to shoot it. And so that's how you transfer self-generation to making some money.
So when you say send it out, you're literally sending out emails.
Literally. If I could have a pigeon or like anything, you can send out a postcard. I highly recommend it being very short. When I met with a Game Show Network casting director, she's like, the way you write is excellent. Keep in touch. Don't be annoying. Don't be too talkative. Give one link. Don't give a thing where they got to download another thing. These people have a lot to do. Make it very simple. Click. I'm on this. I'm on the homepage. This is how many views. Check it out. And I have gotten more jobs that way than anything else in my entire career.
That's really good to know, because, you know, generating your own material, it's hard. YouTube is a huge,
it's terrible.
You could just get lost
in
there.
The content is so overwhelming.
It's extremely overwhelming. So with these things specifically, I mean, come up with unique, like, niche ideas.
Totally. And something kind of dumb, and it doesn't have to be brilliant, and again, as specific as possible. If you like going on hikes with your Labrador and reading Shakespeare, make yourself the best Labrador, Shakespearean outdoor person.
Do you do that?
I don't, but I sort of want to, or know someone that does.
Someone should do that.
Totally, like, note to self, become that person. But I like females. I love females. I'm a feminist. I like millennials. I like pop culture and hacks and getting things done quickly. And I like comedy. So I mix the two in a way of, puns are good, like tipsy gets people's attention. I was like, can I SEO alcohol, booze? Can I get a brand by an alcohol? Can I get sponsored? I'm thinking all the way ahead of, like, if this takes off, can I do that? So think smart when you self-generate. Don't just do your dog shitting, because that's funny. Mm-hmm. It's funny. But it's like, do something a little bit more. What can you do to get money out of it? What can you do to make this go forward? That's always been my goal.
So I'm going to ask you a question that is maybe a little bit too personal.
Yes!
But everybody, you know, I always want to know, you know about all these YouTube stars and people are doing stuff on YouTube. How do you start generating, getting paid for that? Or is it just basically a platform for you to get more jobs, or both?
To be honest, the people getting paid that I know of either started super duper early in it and they just got those thousands and thousands, mm-hmm, and millions, Or they connected in a specific way. So one of my really good friends is named Andre Meadows, and he was on my show Movie Mob, and now he's a huge star, and he's called Black Nerd. That's his avatar. Mm-hmm. And Black Nerd is everywhere. He's got a gold-plated YouTube. He's making money everywhere. And what he did is he became an African-American nerd and owned that space. And he, and now they call him to go to all the red carpets. And he loved specific, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, those, that era. Mm-hmm. So again, the best advice to, for you is specify. I'm really good at funny women in their 30s and being like a little insecure. I'm great at that. Like, that's my go-to.
You're such a great actress.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very insecure, but confidence is something I've kind of always sort of like just put on as like a coat. Mm-hmm. But I think I speak and I'm quite relatable to those people that are like, we don't really know what the heck we're doing. So in that way, the 30-year-old women life hack thing came about. Mm-hmm. So again, if you want to get to the top there, you do need people to get you there. So self-generate enough to get you a manager, an agent, and then they will push you to that level. That's my advice.
Yeah. Do you ever send stuff out and you press the send button and you go, oh crap, was that really terrible? Like, is this gonna ruin everything?
Like, a lot. and for instance, I host a show called LA, Sam in the Morning with Tori every day on Talk Radio, latalkradio.com from 10 to 11. And I've never did radio before. And I didn't know if I could do it, but I had a friend that is on Sirius, and I was really competitive. And I was like, well, I want to be on radio. And I cold called every radio station in LA, and one person was hiring. And it was right after I left the audition. I was like, I don't know what I just did. What I tend to be very much myself. And if you fake it, it's not going to come out genuine. And in hosting, and I know you know this, the more genuine these days you are, the better you are. If you're really hosty, no one's interested. That's not the feeling or style it is nowadays. It's like the more genuine you are, the better. You know, so I keep it very real, and I think that protects me from going way to the dark side.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's so important to be yourself. And now in this age where everyone's watching everything and they're trying to get every angle of you, you know, it's best to just put, you know, an amplified version of yourself.
Totally. Like, I spilled the coffee. I'm not going to lie. Am I going to electrocute myself and burn down the studio? I apologize.
Maybe. But that'd be a good story. That'd be great.
I think we would have a lot of, like, views at that point.
Yeah, maybe I should just
the whole thing.
Yeah, light this place on fire.
Exactly. But again, like, my dream, like, everyone has someone they look up to. I really love Kelly Ripa. And I say that not because she's so small, but she's very, very small.
Oh, God, she's so small.
She's like a twig. I feel like, anywho.
I think I'd hurt her.
I'd be worried about a hug. I would.
Yeah.
But she just sits there, has a coffee, talks about her children, and gets paid. Honey, that's my goal. So, but again, she'll talk about messing up or screwing up or something like that. She's very relatable.
Yeah.
Therefore, that's where I'm going for.
So would something like that be your dream job?
Yeah.
Is to, you know, host a morning show or a late night show?
It's like I have way too much energy for anyone not to be on doing drugs, and everyone's like, what's wrong with you? I just have born this way. Born this way. Anyway, so mornings are great for me. I would love to be waking you up, talking about my silly life, talking about my future children. And then it doesn't even have to be a big, another thing is that's important, I don't have to be the biggest star in LA. If I go and it's in, you know, Hootersville, Minnesota, and I'm a big fish in a small pond and people recognize me getting coffee and I'm supporting myself, hey, I'm okay with that. My goal is to make a living where I get to just be a host and I don't have to be Kelly Ripa. I have to make a living. That is like the goal.
And it's hard.
It used to be I wanted to be Kelly Ripa. And as you get older, I think you realize, okay, I can just support myself somewhere.
So if you got some kind of opportunity in like the middle of nowhere, middle America, you would take that if it was big enough.
Yeah, because honestly, that's like the Oprah start that way.
Yeah.
The Kelly Ripa start that way. She was in Baltimore doing the news, and you start in Hootersville, Minnesota. I hope there's not really a Hootersville, Minnesota.
There's probably a Hootersville somewhere.
I was like, it's probably like Florida, I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah, the goal is if I can get in a market. Again, I'm not okay. I'm fine being humbled and being in a small market, because I promise you, ABC, NBC, CBS, those scouts are looking at those smaller markets. So think smart. Where are they looking? Well, they're looking in the mid market. So get big in that market and see if you can go to the Kelly Ripa market.
And what do you feel about collaborating? You know, because once you do get to the bigger market, a lot of times you have a co-host, this and that. And I know you do have a, you've had a couple co-hosts on your different shows. You know, did you have to learn how to kind of work, not be solo, or do you think you work better with other people?
I think I do work better with other people. Stand-up is great, but I do a lot of audience work because I like the bouncing off effect. It's from improv. I need you. You need me. The scene is better. And I can probably be funnier of something you said. Now, some stand-ups are great solo. And when I go backstage, a lot of stand-ups, I don't know if you've seen this too, Sam, they are in their heads. They're on their, you know, they're really
they're
don't want
to
talk.
Stuff.
Yeah, they're doing it over and over again. And I'm someone that's like, gather around, let's do a shot, let's talk. I'm a very social person for a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from improv because you really like tend to trust the team member. So if you can get a co-host, like just stick me with Regis and I'll be like, someone like, give me a break.
Stick you with Regis. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, that would be great. And I mean, that Kelly Ripa drama, that was, I felt for her, right?
I did too, but at the same time, the Michael Strahan thing was very uncomfortable. They really didn't give her any credit. But like, it turns out Kelly and Regis aren't close, and that really bums me out.
I know. It's like, what's really... And now, you know, Ryan's on the show. I'm
there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'm definitely... Like, maybe 20 years from now, there'll be just a movie about
That's all
it.
I want really bad.
Oh, my God. And maybe you could be her. That would be pretty cool.
Let's just take a moment to realize that that's now the new goal.
Do you hear us, universe?
Manifest. That's so funny. I also did manifest a vision... I put up the damn vision board. Like they say...
Did it, and it worked?
Literally, I was like, I want to be one day interviewed with a microphone while someone's asking me questions. Now, I've had that on my vision board, a microphone, for about 10 years.
Was it yellow, the mic?
It wasn't, but it was like a burnt sienna.
Okay,
it was
fair enough.
A warm orange. It was an earth tone. And I had a water bottle because one day I was going to be at a station where they handed me water before I got in. That was the big thing. Little specific things, and you get there.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that we could help part of your vision board come to life. That's really exciting.
This is it, guys.
Now good I'm going to go home and make a vision board. I used to have one, but people would make fun of me all the time.
Oh, it is very embarrassing that I'm like believing in the secret. However, it is very embarrassing that I want to be talking out loud for a living, too. I mean, this whole stand-up comedy thing is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And I only say that because I do it, too.
Exactly.
But it's a lot of fun. And I think just, again, like improv helps in so many different ways. And I think you've branded yourself, too, with you don't do a lot of serious stuff. Even the stuff you do for, like, the kin community.
It's really goofy.
It's really goofy.
Really goofy.
It's family-oriented.
Yeah, I definitely want to be, there's a Ellen DeGeneres stand-up 30-minute she did a long time ago after she came out and she wasn't getting any roles, and it's called Here and Now, and it's just jokes about toilet paper and silly things that you just belly laugh. And I want to be that girl where it's like you're just talking about how crappy the cell phone service, like I don't need to be outrageous, I don't need to be Sarah Silverman, Schumer. I do make vagina jokes too, but I also liked pointing out how thin toilet paper is. I think that's hilarious to everyone. So I branded myself very specifically, family oriented, children friendly sometimes, and goofy, and also very much like I've been there. I've fallen down many, many times, and this is how you get back up. You know what I mean?
Do you find it really cool or terrifying that now the game is different? There's no A, B, C, D. It's just kind of like, whoa,
it's
all
awful.
Over the place.
It's terrifying. I have no other word than just like completely terrifying because, for instance, my father being the attorney, you go to school. He went to Yale. Then he went to Harvard. Then he went, you know, he got his law degree. Then he's the best firm in the world. So it's like there isn't, just like you said, a ladder. It's very uncomfortable. So what I do is, the way I build my ladder is know my SEO keywords, know where I can be seen, find a brand, be specific. And I pretend that those things are ladders, even though they're really not. But you try to build structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, instead of just being like, well, I'm going to be this, I tried to build the ladder with very specific ideas of how to move forward. Otherwise, you are lost at sea. Because there's so many of us trying, you know what I mean?
And there's things coming from everywhere. Which direction. What's the worst advice someone's ever given you?
Okay, this is so real. You guys ready for this? No, it's interesting. This brings us back to what we actually have met before a long time ago, and she was very kind to me in a very uncomfortable situation. So Sam, you were, but I was kind to her, and we remembered each other. So be kind. The worst advice is I was on a show doing very well, and my manager at the time had said, if they aren't going to talk to you about this show beforehand or something, walk off the set. And it wasn't this dramatic, like, walk off. But I was like, I'm going to have to wait until I hear from my manager, so I can't do this show right now. And that really caused some problems. And never again would I allow that to happen, because they had treated me respectfully. I was being treated fine. I was willing to do the show without, and then having a meeting. Listen to yourself first. Brand, you know your brand better than anyone else. I soon left that said manager,
yes,
and that we know of. And it's what's interesting is it ruined a lot. It ruined some relationships for me and the industry. You know all about relationships, so I shouldn't have listened to that voice. I should have stayed within myself and run my own business. So I let someone else run my business.
What's the best advice someone's ever given you?
Be specific.
Mm-hmm.
Be specific. And that's in comedy and that's in improv. If I'm talking on a phone, am I talking on a flip phone? Am I talking on an iPhone 7 and an iPhone 7 Plus? Be specific, right? If you're a host, are you a TV host? Are you a pop culture host? What kind of host are you?
Yeah. And speaking of what kind of host are you, I want to talk about some of, you know, the shows that you've done. We've talked about a couple of them. There's one that I really like, and I'm not sure when you did it or, like, if it's still going on, is Happy Hour.
Yeah, I love that one, too.
So can you tell me about that a little bit? Because totally. At first I was like, Happy Hour. No, it's Happy Hour.
And again, this was, again, on Craigslist, guys. I don't mean to be recommending Craigslist, but this is the third job I got off it. They were doing a show. I always go to Craigslist TV, if you guys are listening, the TV and radio mm-hmm. click. And I just put the word host in because you don't know. Sometimes it happens. I do this about once a week. And up came someone that was like, do you know a lot about drinking? Do you like to be on TV? Do you want to get paid for doing both? Happy Hour. I was like, hell yeah. So I was at a bachelorette party, and they were like, send us in a 2-minute film reel of you with a beer and talking about it. And I wanted to be, the other thing I would give advice is you want to be first when you submit someone. Always submit as fast as possible because you do get seen a little bit faster. So I wanted to do it then. So I just taped myself in the bathroom at that bachelorette party with a beer in my hand, and I held it out there, and it was just me. And then I got the part, and it was me reviewing beers for 3 minutes. And it was fabulous. We go to breweries, and I'd learn all about lagers and ales. But they let me be myself. They let me write it. And I could taste it and talk about how happy this was or how disgusting this tastes like college and despair. And it was lovely. So I was quick. I was proactive. I didn't wait for the best time. I did it in the ladies' bathroom at a bachelorette party. But that's what you have to do. Like, a friend of mine got a job by pretending to be a UPS person at this Paramount, getting in and delivering her own headshot.
I hear when people do that, and I'm like, if I ever did that, I would get arrested.
You know we'd be in jail.
Yeah, I'd be that person that gets arrested.
We'd be in, like, a Thai prison for some reason.
Bridget Jones' Diary,
for
too.
For real.
Yeah.
Like, you and I'd be like, did you try to, like, get a UPS thing in?
Yeah.
That stuff does not work. I just try and be a little bit more proactive. So when I heard, he was like, you were the first video I saw, and we knew right away. That's because I did it quickly. If you're mm-hmm. going to wait a week, you're not going to be – it's now, unfortunately, in this environment.
How many things, like, are current right now with you that you're doing show-wise?
So right now I host LA Talk Radio every day from 10 to 11, mm-hmm. and I get to talk about politics and anything I want. And it's called Sam in the Morning with Tori, and it's just great. It's just a really good way. We interview really cool guests, similar to what this is. And then I'm also doing Tipsy Tori again. I'm bringing that back up. And hopefully Kin is going to pick up. We're getting some sponsors, and Hack of All Trades will be back. So that's what I'm really hoping for.
Are you a big, like, because I watched some of your Hack of All Trades, and it's goofy. At first I thought, oh, is this a joke?
Right.
But you actually do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hacking is, you can be goofy because hacking is, what do you do when you're in the bathroom and you're sweating and you're on a first date? Well, go to get the toilet seat cover that they use for protection and use it as a blotting tool. This is phenomenal for me because I'm always falling down or tripping. So hack just came normally to me. So I researched a lot. Pinterest is great. Joey Green, one of my manager's clients, Joey Green, wrote like 40 books on hacks. So I would talk with him and get some really good ones you might not know about. And again, it was just, literally, it was a branding tool. It was like, okay, I can be this girl on Hacks. You know what I mean? I can be your millennial, older millennial hack chick.
Yeah.
There's an opening for me there. So that's what I ran with.
It's funny because I was watching the toothpaste one and I didn't really correctly use the toothpaste hack in the past, but I have four holes in my wall.
Yes. Yes. That's one of them. But don't do it like if you're going to like...
It doesn't look very good.
It doesn't. If you're renting, this is a rental. If you're renting and you want to do it and there's a little nail hole, you put some non-gel and then you just scrape it in. It could be the caulk.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Caulk? Cock? Caulk?
I don't think it's cock.
I don't think it's cock.
But let's say it's cock.
I think that's better. Yeah. Put the cock in the wall and you're fine.
Put the cock in the wall and just let it, you know, fill in that hole and it sticks there just fine. Oh, wow. Oh, that was disgusting. So I am so sorry.
I loved it.
But yeah, it's like, and there's, is what's your favorite hack that you've done that you really find the most helpful?
The most helpful really is when there's leftover wine at a party and there's bottles of wine. Don't drink it like I used to do. Go ahead and put it in ice cube trays. Put garlic and some herbs in each one, and then when you're making pasta, take your ice cube and unfreeze it, melt it in the pot, and you have a flavor bomb, like a red wine sauce.
Oh my God. That's
brilliant.
That's really brilliant. Did you come up with that?
I didn't. Very rarely do you actually come up with your own, although I have when I'm – what I'm trying to do next really is taking hacks into mental health. So what I want to do specifically is a radio show or TV show where I hack anxiety. I hack – you're on a first date or you're heartbroken. What do I do right now? Because I'm studying Buddhism and I think there's a lot where you could bring Buddhism into a practical millennial thing where I've been stood up on a date. I need some help. Hack lady. What do I do now? Instead of like, I'm locked out of my car. I got a tennis ball and some Bisquick, you know? So I'd like to take it into that realm. So that I think could be really helpful. Mental health hacks for millennials, especially women. Could be really useful. I think that'd be a really neat way to go.
And it could be really funny,
like,
too.
So funny. Like, one hack I need is I'm in the waiting room. I know when you audition, it's a lot of people looking just like you, dressed just like you, thinner than you, much tanner somehow from, like, Saint-Tropez, on the on season. Like, you're not even on the off season. And I have a lot of anxiety right then. What is a hack to be in that waiting room and wait for my turn? That can be an hour and a half to 2 hour wait. That would be nice. So, like, I'm going to research that. So a lot of people say they look at their dogs, they listen to an audiobook, they color, they work with silly putty. So all these things are helpful.
You or know slip what I mean? The other girl's laxatives.
I've done that several times, but by I've drank in it myself. Oh. And it was just a loose situation.
Karma.
Free flow.
Yeah.
No, I've never done it. But I'm the girl that's like, hey, wanting to be friends. Mm-hmm. And I get it. If you need to calm down and be in your own space, it's a little bit of a cold... you know, it's not a comfortable place, the waiting room of an audition room. But neither is being at a bar and you're feeling really fugly. What can you do in 5 minutes to get your confidence up? What's a hack? You know what I mean? That's where I sort of want to take it.
I have one.
Hit me so hard. Hit me right now.
I've done it since I grew boobs, you know, when I was in high school.
Mazel tov.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
My parents would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So if you're at a bar and you want a guy to talk to you.
Oh my God, please tell. Girls are listening, men are listening.
You go over and you accidentally bump your boobs into them.
Okay.
And
like a right boob or like both? Just one?
Like whatever, just okay. Like a brush. Just and you're like, and then you kind of just accidentally trip and go, oh, and then your boobs push into them. I'm so sorry. Whenever guys touch boobs, it's like there's something in their head that goes ding, 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 ding. And then they're like, wait. And I was like, sorry about that. Excuse me.
And they're hooked.
Yep.
It's like the CSI boob thing.
Yeah.
Where I got shot in the boob. I go, oh.
Yes.
And then I float.
We've come full circle. But hopefully after you do that, you don't get a shot in the boob.
You don't want to get shot. That's so interesting because another way to know if a guy's into you is look at their feet, I found out. If you think a guy's into you, if their feet are pointed towards you, it's a good thing. And if you really want to know, yawn. If the guy across the room you think is giving you the eye yawns back, you know that they've been paying attention.
That's like a weird animal.
Like it's a primate. It's like a primitive, instinctual, contagious thing. But that's good to know, man.
Yeah.
If I were dating, I would have loved to know that stuff. You know what I mean?
It's fun.
I was just blind. I was awful.
Well, maybe I'll take up the dating. Even though I don't know what I'm doing and I'd rather sit home with my cat than
obviously,
do any of that.
Who wouldn't? But, Netflix and chill.
So is there anything new and exciting coming up for you that you can talk about to plug?
Oh, well, hopefully this I would like to go further, the hacking for mental health. I'm looking to do it at the radio station or on TV and continuing my stand-up and taking it further and then always being on LA Talk Radio.
Do you have any shows coming up?
I do. I'm going to be at the Comedy Show, Comedy Store in June. I'm getting the dates soon. And then I'm at Mickey's at WeHo in 4 Mondays, which is very exciting. It's free. It's at 7. It's a great gay bar. So it's like where RuPaul's Drag Race ladies come.
Yeah.
But you can always check my website and I always update. Again, another piece of advice. Get yourself updated all the time. It's so annoying, but it's so important. Because if you don't invite the right people, they don't know what you're doing. So, again, try and, like, find a way to be seen. If it's stand-up, if it's improv. If you write a show and it's a one-woman show and 4 people come, do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did you guys see La La Land?
I was going to say, did y'all see La La Land? Which is, you know, there was a montage of her auditioning that really rested home with me. When she was, like, you know, pouring her eyes out and they're eating lunch. And, like, that's what it's like, you know? But, again, she just self-generated.
And it's important to do that. And I'm so excited to kind of see where this all takes you
because
it's a long journey. And even though you say you're impatient, like you have a lot of endurance, obviously, to, you know, have been fighting a good fight.
That's a good point. It's not a sprint, which I thought it would be. But it's a
Everyone thinks
it's a sprint. But it is. And I'm looking in the camera right now and at Sam. It is a Kenyan marathon race. And I'm talking to those people that can run forever. Mm-hmm. It is that hard. And if you don't have a thick enough skin to get 60 million no's and 1 yes, then just be a baker. Or like a blacksmith.
Yeah.
That's or still a thing.
Kind of delusional, maybe. Doesn't all. Sometimes when I get up on stage doing stand up, I'm sure you do the same thing too. You know, people say, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know.
Something
weird just happens in my brain and I don't even think about
it. You're out for about 5 minutes and then you're back.
Yeah. But then when I go out on the town and some guy looks at me weird, like he thinks I'm fat, I think about it for hours and
100%.
It upsets me.
A homeless guy told my girlfriend who I was standing with that he has a hard on for her, and I was really upset that homeless man didn't have one for me.
Yep.
This is how stupid it gets.
It happens all the time.
It does. And you're like, well, what was it? But what's interesting is when you do stand-up, a way to ground yourself I found is, another hack is, I lay down on the ground backstage right before I go on for the girl before me on my all back and just like power pose it, and I get to be a little bit more in my mind.
Oh my god, I'd be so terrified to do that.
It is. Everyone's like walking over you. It's a little weird. But again, just like I said before, if you can take a moment in the bathroom and do a power pose or like a warrior pose, it's helped me transition to a confidence that I might not be really having.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us. One more time, where can everyone find you on social media?
At ToriShulman.com. Again, it's ToriShulman. I am Tori Shulman. Google me. And Sam, again, thank you. I bet it was like 10 years ago we met at this passing moment, but we still remember this moment. We were very kind to each other. So always be nice to each other. You never know if you're going to see them again.
Exactly. I love that. I'm really glad you remembered me.
Absolutely.
So I'm Sam Davidson. You can find me online at samdavidsonentertainment.com, which I'm going to start updating a lot more lately. Twitter and Instagram at samd43. Follow both of us. See what we're doing, especially Tori, though.
Especially Sam.
She has a lot of really cool stuff going on, and she's hilarious, creative, and especially for millennials that want to create. She's a really great person to follow and learn from.
So thanks for
tuning in. We think you are all awesome. And comment, tweet any questions you have. And we'll see you next time for Spotlight On. Bye. Let me say this real.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.